Radha Sudhanidhi ki, Prabodhananda Saraswati Pada ki jai, Shri Radha Krishna Sarkara ki jai, Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana ki jai, Purushottam Mas Brat 2015 ki. So we're continuing on our study of Radha Sudhanidhi, and this is verse 53, revealing the bhavas and sevas and moods of Radharani's tender, sweet maidservants, her kinkaris, her paricharikas, her anacharinis, commonly known as manjaris. So this title of this particular verse is called Attaining the Spiritual Body, which is generally called Siddha Sarup by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or more commonly called Siddha Deha. Deha means body. There's 3 points in this verse we find, and as always, there's Radha and Krishna, there are Leelas, and there's some teaching for us, and the Leelas, and then the Sevas of the Mantris there, or some related point. So the first point of the 3 points are the Siddha Deha, Siddha Sarup, or spiritual body of the sadhaka jiva, is attained by meditation and, of course, chanting Hare Krishna and all the limbs of bhakti. But the verse is discussing about meditation, and we'll give some further references about the principle of meditation from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, and also from the first canto of Bhagavatam, the story of Narada Muni's journey home, journey to perfection, which is a template or a model for everyone. It's very interesting that the Bhagavatam, Shuka Muni and Vyasadeva are inviting the conditioned souls, those that are satam, I forget the word, he says that those that are nirmatsaranam, inviting those purified souls that are interested in worshipping the personal God, especially Krishna. He's taking them by the hand. He said, come with me, I'll take you to the kingdom of God. And on the way to the kingdom of God, we will meet so many wonderful devotees. Some are Kshatriyas, some are Brahmins, some are Vaishyas, and all different types of devotees of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens and rishis and brahmins and businessmen and vaishyas, many types of personalities we will meet in the pages of the Bhagavatam, and we will walk together and learn so many things about Bhagavan, his various amshas and avatars and descents, leela avatars and guna avatars, all different expansions of the Lord. And then we'll finally understand who is the supreme origin of it all, if you want to use the word origin, and the beginning, which is, there's no beginning, it's all eternal. God is eternal, his leelas are eternal, his expansions are eternal. We're also an expansion of God, we are also eternal. Ameivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. This is in Bhagavad Gita, the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Mamevamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. Sanatan means eternal, no end. Sanatan. So the jiva is eternal, and he's amsh. He's an amsh. He's called vibhinamsha. 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 Vibhina. Vibhina means separated. He's a separated energy of the Lord. Sometimes the that's another point. So the story is very nice because in the first canto, right in the beginning, on the way to the kingdom of God, Vyasadeva tells us the story of how Narada Muni reached the kingdom of God, Vishnu Loka. That was his destiny and desired objective. So by his example, we see this is how we will all go. Like you see, oh, my older brother went to college and he had so many... did so much studying and had tuitions and tutors and so many exams, and finally he completed his school and he got a degree. So now I'm a young man, I will follow like his way, I will also do like that. So similarly, we are all sadhakas of Krishna Bhakti, and we will, the example of Narada Muni is for us. So we'll hear about that, because in that story, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 6, it explains how Narada Muni got his siddha deha, his siddha sarup. There are many ways. Ultimately, the siddha deha, as you'll see from the story of Narada Muni, it's a gift of God. So we'll begin this verse 53 about the awakening or the attainment of the spiritual body. One thing I want to see here. Tukulam vibranam ata kuchatate kanchukapatam prasadam swaminya swakaratala datam pranayata stittam nityam parshve vivida paricharaika chaturam kishoryam atmanam kemiha sukumarim nukalye. This verse, as I mentioned, has 3 points. Attaining the siddha deha by meditation, and Radha's prasadi vastra, the remnants of Radharani's divine clothing, and the expertise of the manjaris in their seva, chatur. Chatur means their cleverness, their expertise. Tukulam vibrana matakuchatate kanchuka patam prasadam swaminya sakaratala dattam pranayata stitam nityam parshve vivita paricharaika chaturam kishorim atmanam kimiha sukumarim nukalaye. When can I, kim means when can I see myself? That's a good question for everyone. When can I see myself? I don't mean the nose in the mirror or the eyes in the mirror, the self, the Atma. When can I see myself here as Sri Radhika's tender adolescent maidservant, wearing the leftover silken blouse, kanchuli, blouse, and, or you say choli, and dress that my mistress Radha lovingly gave me with her own hand, and always standing by her side to assist Sri Kishoriji with various expertise and service. Second translation. Wearing two-piece silken cloth upon my body, and an embroidered corset upon my breasts. This is the prasad cloth remnants given to me by my own Swamini, Kishori Radha, in loving affection by her very own hand. Situated eternally by Radha's side, exclusively expert in rendering various services. Oh, will I ever see myself here in this divine realm of Goloka in the form of such a soft, youthful maiden, Sukumari? This Kumari means unmarried girl, Kumari. And Su means many things, but means very, because the Kumari, she's considered tender and innocent, and she's chaste, obviously. Brahmacharini, if there is such a term. But she's celibate and she's a young girl, unmarried. So she's Sukumari. She's very, very innocent and very shy and very tender. You see so many girls this age. Kumari means 10, 9, 10, 11 years old girl like this. And some are a little more aggressive or outward type. But some are very, you just see them, they're very, very soft and tender and gentle and innocent. Very cultured type of young people, young girls. And Manjari is thinking, I'm a Sukumari, Kishore Yatmanam. So now we can discuss. It's interesting how in both these translations, the theme or the title of the verse is awakening the spiritual body. And that's what's discussed in the beginning of the Tika, our commentary, by Srila Anantadas Pandit. Because his thinking is here, he's saying that I'm thinking like this. When can I see myself or think of myself? Because we always think of this basically the word Atmanam. There's a word in the verse, Kishoram Atmanam. So this adolescent Kishori Atmanam, my Atmanam, myself, when can I think like that? And Kaliye, new Kaliye, when will I see? When will that time come? So that when that means that you're thinking about something that hopefully will happen in the future. When means not now and not before, not past and not present, but future. The word when, kada, kabe. So this, of course, is a very important part. We have three limbs of bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam. So smaranam means remembering, thinking, meditating. Everyone is using this function, mental function all the time. You have to remember where you're going. When you get in the car and start driving somewhere, you have to remember. If you're driving and turn right and left and say, where am I going? I don't know where I'm going. Then you'd be like lost, and because your mind ceased functioning. And your memory function went kaput. It stopped working. You're driving. Yes, I'm going to this mall. It's on the other side of town. It's 1 hour from here, and I go on this road and that road. And you have it all down in your mind because you know how to go there. And you start driving. So we're always thinking and meditating. Oh, when will I get there? And in order to get there, I have to think like this and think like that. So the sadhaka, he's thinking, oh, when will I get to the spiritual world? Or when will I attain the eternal service of Krishna or Radharani? So then he also thinks about where he's going. He reads about the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. He reads about the associates he wants to live with and serve with. And especially reads about his Ishta Devata. In this case, Radha and Krishna. So this whole idea of perfection by thought. There's perfection by hearing. But when you're hearing Harikata, you're also thinking. You have to think over the subject matter. When a guru gives shiksha to the disciple, you have to think about it, think deeply, and understand his teachings and his shiksha and his agya. You have to understand deeply what he's requiring and what he's asking and what he's teaching. This is nidhi asana. You have to think about it. Manana, and contemplate it. He told me like this. He may say something simple. He may tell you, listen, Shishya, yoga means to fix the mind on one place. Yoga chitta vritti virodha. All the mind, thoughts, all your thoughts and desires, it should be fixed on one place. He said, at the time of chanting japa, we must do yoga. We must meditate. So our mind must be fixed in one place. Otherwise, there's no success. Other times, you're moving here and there, you're singing, you're chanting, and you're partially thinking about what you're singing or chanting, and your mind is here and there. But the time of meditation, of japa sankhya, it's called jap sankhya. When you're chanting, your sankhya means rounds. We say rounds in English. It means sankhya. Sankhya means counting. 1, 2, 3, 16, 32, 64. At that time, especially, we must be fixed our mind. So he said, fix your mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. So that seems like a simple instruction. But so the guru tells you that, then you have to think about it. You say, yes, Gurudev. Then you try and you think about it. And what are these feet? And what do Krishna's feet look like? And how does he... There's so many things will come. And your mind will be thinking and meditating on the guru shiksha, the order of the guru about chanting. This particular shiksha on sadhana, on japa sadhana, how to control the crazy monkey wandering mind. Chanchalahi mana Krishna. So as you think more and more about it, gradually you start to chant properly, and then many ideas and realizations come about Krishna's feet, and you may see those feet of Krishna, because this is his order, and as you meditate, then it becomes manifest, it becomes revealed. So similarly, this point is here that everyone has a sense. That's why he says Atmanam. He's saying in the verse, he's saying, Kishori Atmanam Kimiha Sukumari Sukumarim Nukalaye. The word Atma in Sanskrit, it means mind, it means body and senses, and it also means the jiva, the eternal conscious principle, the chit shakti of the Lord, that anuchit. There's vibhuchit and anuchit. Vibhuchit is the vast, unlimited totality of consciousness, God, and anu means atomic, small particle of consciousness. Like the vast sun planet, and if you have a screen in your window, and sometimes the sun is coming through your screen, window screen, you say jali, and then there's little beams of light coming, because the sun is... all pervasive, but when it goes through the holes in the screen, it makes little tiny beams, or kiran, surya kiran, little rays or lines of light coming into your room. And that's just one little light beam from the vast unlimited sun. So the soul, the atma, is like one light beam, that anuchit consciousness. So the first point of the verse is that perfection by thought, so this Sripad, in his Manjari Srupa Vesh, or of his consciousness in Bhava of Manjari, he's saying, Kishoryam Atmanam. And Sukamarim. So Kishori means a young adolescent girl from like 12 to 18. But then when you say Sukumari, that means not married. And we say Kishori, Kishor and Krishna Kishori, and Kishori and Krishna. So Krishna is Navayovanam. Krishna is eternally 15 years, 9 months, 7 and a half days. And so he's there from 12 to 16. He's a Kishore in his Kaishor Roop. And Radharani is a Kishori. Nitya Kishori Pritamajori. There's one bhajan. Nitya Kishori Pritamajori by Hari Vyasacharya. So Radharani is also a Kishori. She's 14 years, 2 months, and 15 days eternally. But Radharani's not, she's married, so she's no longer considered a Kumari, Sukumari. She's Kishori, but not Sukumari. So here, Sripad is saying in the last line, Kishorim Atmanam Kim Iha Sukumari, Sukumarim Nukalaye. Kala. When Kim Kala, when will that time come when I'll be with Radharani and I'll see myself and think of myself as a Kishori? I'm only 12 years old or 11, and I'm a little tender handmaiden of Radharani, and and I'm a kishori, just a budding youth, a flower bud, just budding, you can say, B-U-D-D-I-N-G, budding like a flower, but flower is closed, that's a bud, and then it opens up, it's blossoming. So this is Sukumari, very, very innocent, very tender and soft. Of course, they also know everything. So that this is the point in the purport is saying that everyone has a sense of self-identity. I am so-and-so. The mentality of identity is called abhiman. Abhiman means the mentality of your identity. Well, what is your abhiman? Like we've heard, you ever heard this term, Purusha abhiman? That's us. It's all of us. We all think we're the enjoyers. Purusha abhiman. When Shiva, Lord Shiva, came to Braj, he wanted to enter the rasa dance, and he came to the rasa stali with all of his cobras and snakes and skull necklaces, and he started walking into the rasa dance, and all the Dwara Palis, whatever you call them, the ladies at the gate, there was Brinda Devi was there, and Brinda Rika, and Menaka, and Muralika. They were guarding the four entrances to the Rasastali. They said, wait. And he went to one. They said, get lost. You know, you can't come. You're in Purushabhiman. There's only Eki Purusha here. There's only Eki Purusha here in this world. In our world, which is the epitome of our world, is the Ras Lila, the Prem Ras. And we are all in Prakriti Bhav. We are all enjoyed by Krishna. We are his Ladini Shakti. No one's Shaktiman here. No one's. So you get lost. Purushabhiman, not allowed. No pravesh. So he was upset and he went away. Lord Shiva then. Somehow Yogamaya Purnamasi met him and then he revealed his mind. She said, well, you have to give up this Purushabhiman. First of all, you have to give up your Purushabhiman. Then you have to give, because you're identifying that I'm Shankar. The in charge of this Tamagun, and I'm the great mystic yogi, I'm great Tyagi. You have to give all these things up, and you have to have not only Prakriti Abhiman, or the mood of a servant, but you also need you have to have that Bhav, and then you need the body of a gopi. You have to be a gopi. Enter the Rasa dance. There's one gopa and all only gopis, only ladies, ladies only. So then arrangement was made, and he got a beautiful Kishori Gopi form, and Krishna gave him the name Kopishwar, everyone knows. So then he entered the Rasa dance. So he had to change his Abhiman. So changing Abhiman comes by deep thinking, by meditation, and of course by sarusanga, you get the idea. Because until we meet Guru, until we, every one of us, man and woman on this planet, thinks, I am the center. Everything is for me, and let me enjoy, and I am the enjoyer. And you come to Guru, and Guru says, you are not the center, Krishna's the center. You are not the enjoyer, you're the servant. Huh? I'm the servant? I have servants in my house, they wash my pots, and they drive my car, but I'm also a servant. Yes. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. There's only one controller here, is Krishna. So then gradually we get new ideas, new shiksha, we think about them, as we think about the teachings of Guru and Shastra and Vaishnavas, and if we have any good, if we're fortunate, if Krishna blesses us, if Guru blesses us, we'll realize, yes, my atma, my sense of identity is completely fallacious. It's completely backward, ulta, upside down. I have to rework my whole identity. I thought I was the center of the universe and everyone around me is supposed to serve me. Either I pay for service or I win service because of sambandha. Sambandha means I'm the older brother, so I take service from my younger brother because of the relationship, sambandha. Or I'm the husband, and so the wife should serve me. But then you have your hired servants. So one way or another, everyone has carved out a very beautiful kingdom. They often have a phrase, or they used to have a phrase in America that that the man is the king of his castle or something, and the king of his home is his castle or something, like palace. So this is the idea. Everyone thinks they're a king and a queen. So everyone has a sense of identity. I am so-and-so. The mentality of this is called Abhiman. And we've all heard of this Purushabhiman. It means identifying oneself as an enjoyer mentality. But just as there's Purushabhiman, there's also Seva Abhiman. The mentality, Abhiman, the man, the mentality or the sense of being or the sense of self-worth, that I'm a servant. I'm identifying myself as a servant. Ami Krishna Das. Ami Krishna Dasi. I am a servant, a gopi, a sakhi. So in this verse, Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati, he's describing his desired identity. He wants this identity. I want to be Radharani's Paricharaika. I want to be Chaturam. I want to be expert and clever in service. And I want to be a very tender, sweet, adorable Brajagopi, a Kumari, just not even a teenager yet, or just barely 13 or 12 or 13. So this is desire. Everyone has desire for some better position or some improved situation. Wherever we are, everyone wants a better situation or improved situation or better position, or even in many cases a better body. If our body is troubling us with disease or infirmity or various or different types of problems, then we think, oh, I wish I had a better body, or maybe I hope I get a better body next time. Someone's a fool. He's not very intelligent. He might be thinking, oh, I hope I get some intelligence next life. It seems that intelligent people are more happy in this world and more peaceful and have more facility than we unintelligent people. He may understand that point of reality and pray and strive. So this is a desired. So he's desiring his desired idea and how he's cultivating. How is he cultivating his thoughts? Everyone is like the agriculturist, the farmer agriculturist, the Kisanwala, is cultivating his crops. He clears the land of all debris and stones, and then he plows it and turns over the soil and makes it soft. Then he makes rows for irrigation of water and rows for walking lines. Then he plants the seeds. Then he waters them. Then he takes care of them, watches for bugs and infesting them, and picks out weeds. He cultivates his crops. So every sadhaka is a cultivator, is an agriculturist. You've heard this idea. At Diksha we get Bhakti Lata Bijam. Bhakti Lata. Lata means creeper, plant. So plants, like plants in the field, they need to be watered. They need sunshine, proper soil, water, and care. So our bhakti, our creeper devotion, needs sunshine, water, proper care. And sunshine means, the water means our daily bhajan, and sunshine means the mercy shining from the hearts of Guru and Vaishnavas. So that mercy, the shastras, reading the shastras, that sunshine for our creeper. And the sun is always shining, and the creeper is growing nicely, and we're always watering it. So that's the bhajan, daily sadhana. So with sadhana sangha and shastra pardhana or shastra swadhyaya, studying shastra, then bhakti grows very nicely. So we have to cultivate our thoughts. It's not that I just do anything and think about anything and do whatever I want and think about anything. And all of a sudden when I'm 24, I have a degree in medicine. I just grow up and automatically have a degree. No, you have to cultivate your thoughts and you have to cultivate your actions and you have to go to school and so many things. So it's not that suddenly we're just walking along one day and we trip and then we look up, oh, this is my spiritual identity. I am so and so. I have this spiritual form and this eternal relationship with Krishna. It never happened in 1,000,000,000 lifetimes. You have to cultivate the thoughts that arise, the thoughts and desires that arise in the course of your bhajan. What some thoughts, as you hear and chant about Krishna, your brain and mind will become pure. And in that purified setting, I'm not saying pure devotee, I'm just saying pure from last life or this life, then some desire will come, some desire, some attraction, some interest in Krishna, like this or like that. We're hearing about Krishna in so many ways, in so many forms and leelas. So one of them must be us. This is the idea. Hello, Radhe, Radhe. So this first point of the verse, Dhanavas, first point of the verse is about cultivating the proper mentality, because the verse has three points. One is the attainment of spiritual body, and the other is the value and supreme treasure of receiving Kishori's Prasadi Vastra. And the third point is the expertise of the Manjaris in the service of Krishna. These three points are in this verse. So now we're discussing about cultivating thoughts. So this Sripad, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's thinking, as he says here, Kishoriam, Kishoriam Atmanam Kim, Iha Sukumarim Nukaliye. He's saying, will I ever see myself here amongst Radha and Krishna in the form of a soft, youthful maiden? When can I see myself here in the spiritual world, Goloka, as Sri Radhika's tender adolescent maidservant? Adolescent means, of course, Kishori. And when you say Kishori, means like 12, 11 to 15, whatever. Kishori. But then you say Sukumari. Sukumari means unmarried. That's why he's saying tender, means before a marriage. So Radharani is a Kishori. Nitya Kishori, we said Prita Majori. And the Manjaris are also Kishoris. But the Manjaris are Kumari Kishoris, or Sukumaris. They're 11 years old or 12. And Lalita, Vishaka, Radharani, they're 14. 14, even a maximum, maybe even 15. So that's the difference, although they're all considered young adolescent girls. So his Kaliye, he's saying Kaliye, which means I'm meditating and identifying myself as what? Everyone is meditating every moment and identifying myself. We look in the mirror and brush our hair. Yeah, I'm this lady or I'm this man. And I'm the wife, I'm a husband, I'm a student, I'm whatever we are. Every time we look in the mirror, we're reinforcing our identity with our body. And everywhere we go, people call us Mrs. or Mr. And so everywhere we go, the environment is reinforcing the Purushabhiman, the mentality of enjoyer, which we have inherently, intrinsically, and then the identification with the body we're trapped in. So this is, we're forced by our own will and by our own attachment. We all have the wrong Abhiman. So sadhana bhakti is a matter of changing the Abhiman, correcting the vision, correcting our understanding. I am the body, I am the enjoyer, I am the center. Then you meet Guru and he said, you're not the body, you're not the enjoyer, you're not the center. That's the beginning of changing Abhiman. Abhiman means mentality, identity, ego, who I am. So on the higher end, when one advances in bhakti bhajan, which we're discussing, Raghunuga Bhakti in this class, in these classes. So then he starts identifying himself, not at all do with these bones and skin and birthplace of origin, but identifying with his desired spiritual form and relationship with Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. So he's giving very clear definition here. I want this. I identify myself. He's Prabhudananda Saraswati. He's a Brahmin. He's a man, he's a Brahmin, he's a great personality. But I'm not thinking I'm a male, I'm not thinking I'm a Brahmin, I'm not thinking I'm in South Indian or wherever he's from. He's thinking, because we say, you become what you think. If you think, what do you think about your life? What do you want to, even they ask you when you're young, what do you want to become? Oh, I'm just living, I just eat, I live, my parents feed me. No, you don't want to become anything? No, I live, I'm happy. Say, no, I know I have to grow up and I'll become married and I'll have children. This is my destiny. Or I want to be educated like this. I want this talent and many things we want to become. Because when you're three, you're like zero. But then gradually so many wants come in identity. So sadhana has shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. So smaranam means meditation, nukaliye. He says nukaliye, and he's thinking atmanam. Atmanam means he's thinking this. I'm meditating, I'm identifying myself as a Sukumari Kishori Gopi in Braj, a very tender, sweet teenage girl. Hardly teenage, pre-teenage, because teenage means 13, teenage, but it's actually 12. A maidservant of Srimati Radharani. This is the Abhiman. This is called spiritual Abhiman. Material, there's a Lokik Abhiman and Lokik, material Abhiman and spiritual. Spiritual Abhiman means thinking and identifying and desiring everything in the spiritual world. Nothing here. Spiritual, I want to live with the spiritual people. I want to live in the spiritual world. I want to have a spiritual body. I want this particular spiritual transcendental relationship with Radha and Krishna. This is the alokic abhiman, spiritual mentality. And that is making some noise. Radharani's dancing. I have to put some fix that tomorrow. Or maybe move a little bit. Anyway, it's nice. She's always dancing. Maybe, you know, if you can
can put like this here so it will not bend.
You can try. Well, yeah, I'm thinking that. I can try something. Just fold it in half or so. Yeah. Stick it more higher up and on the corner, just the left corner. Yeah. And then push it, make it straight. Niche. Plung diwar straight. Yeah, sita. Yeah, something like that. But yeah, a little Prabhupada side, Bhagal side. Yeah. Very good. You must be from South India. They're intelligent.
Mast.
Huh?
Mast.
There you go. That's pretty far away from Delhi, I would say. Safe distance. Delhi's dangerous. When I used to preach in Delhi, they would ask me, say, what do you think of Delhi? I would say, helly, smelly, Delhi. And that became, and they never heard that. That was 1987 when I first started preaching there. And I said, so how do you like, you know, you're coming here to preach in Delhi, how do you like the devotees? I said, devotees are very nice. And I said, oh, what do you think of Delhi? You know, it's our capital. I, like when Prabhupada went to London, I told him before, and he in 1969 he went to London. They went to the airport, and all the newspapers. Oh, here's these six grihasthas came here, Mukunda, etc., Gurudas. Opened the ISKCON, and Prabhupada went to meet them and encourage them. 1969, first visit to London airport, and they are all reporters at the airport because Hare Krishna had made quite a sensation. I guess it was 69 or so. I mean, that's when they went. Or no, they went earlier. I don't know. But at any rate, so then they said, so Swamiji, now you're in the Queen's, the capital, the Queen's empire that was once ruling the entire world. And India, of course, was under the Queen. And all from rising to setting of the sun was all controlled by the Queen of England. So now you're in our glorious country of England. What do you think of England? Prabhupada said, I think it's hell. And that was Swamiji thinks England is hell. It's in the the
headlines.
London Tribune, London Times, and everywhere headlines. So in that mood of my Gurudev, when I was asked a similar pointed question, what do you think of Delhi? And having grown up in the country in America, near the ocean and a big estate, and going to some city like that, I think it's Heli and Heli Smelly Deli. And then there's further, but I didn't tell the rest of it. Heli Smelly Deli. And if you eat anything here, your belly will go out. So all Western people, when we used to visit in 75, 76 for Yatra, some people go to Delhi and buy some mango shake or some sugar cane juice. And it's all made with some sewer water here and there mixed in. And everybody would get sick and diarrhea, and they're just going back to America, or if they weren't sick already. So when you come to India, they would tell you, they say, are you going to Delhi? Yeah, we go to Delhi, have this shop or this, that. Buy some instruments, musical instruments. So be careful that Delhi belly, the Delhi belly, you'll get, you know, you'll get, your belly will get knocked off in Delhi. Means pate, no? Belly, pate, stomach. So this is the point here of this verse, cultivating. I'm meditating and identifying myself as a Sukumari Kishori. He is Tongavidya Sakhi, Nitya Sakhi. And in Gaur Lila, he came as Prabhudananda Saraswati. But here in these 40 verses, he's identifying and appreciating Radharani's maidservants like Sri Rupa Manjari and Tulsi Manjari, Rati, etc. So entering into their mood and their bhav in this Manjari bhava vesh, then he's praying from their angle. So he is eternally in this form as a Sakhi, as an Astasakhi Nayaka of Radharani, of Krishna, Krishna's personal lover and heroine, but she's also, of course, tightly worshipping and loving Srimati Radharani. But she's writing these, Sripad is writing these verses, and all the acharyas, Narottam Das Thakur, Vishnu Chakravarti, Rupa Goswami, it's for, not for their benefit, it's for our benefit, because we have the wrong mentality, and we don't know our spiritual form, and we don't think correctly. And we don't desire correctly. So their acharyas and gurus, they reform our thinking. They change our thoughts and our desires. And they give us a new goal in life, a new gati. Not a gati, but a paramgati. Gati means a goal. Paramgati means the topmost supreme goal. Vaikuntha prapti, golok prapti, prem prapti. On this Panchama Purusharta, Dharmart Kam Moksha, everyone knows these things, but Panchama Purush Art. What is that Pancham? What is that art? Art, that fifth objective, fifth desired goal. It's not Moksha. I thought that was it. All the Mahabharata, Vedas, Shrutis, everything's telling Moksha. Even Gita's telling Moksha. Sarva Dharman Prityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Bhaja. Ham tvam sarva papivyo moksha ishami masucha. The Gita is telling 1865 moksha. Krishna is telling moksha. And you're telling no moksha. You're saying the dhanana janam na sundaryam kavitam vajagadisha kamye mama janmani janmani shir bhavatad. You're saying birth after birth. What about moksha? Everybody in the karma chakra, samsara chakra, they're seeing birth after birth. And you're a sadhak, you're a spiritualist, sadhaka. And you're also talking about birth after birth, and you're also in the karma chakra. No, we're in the bhakti chakra. We're going in circles to serve Krishna. So this is we want that prema. So we have to cultivate this idea. He's telling, this is the abhiman, the mentality of the raganugya, of the sadhaka, cultivating Manjari bhav. Kishorim atmanam. Atma, I already told, I defined. Atma means me. Atma means me. My body, atma. My mind, atma. My soul, my jivatma, my chit. That's me. That's what he's saying. I want kishori atma. I want kishori. Radharani's kishori atma. See, this is what I'm. My body is kishori. My mind is kishori. My identity, my very self is I'm Kishori, my chit deha, siddha deha. This is what he's saying. Kishorim atmanam means my atma, self, my very being is a Kishori, nitya Kishori, braja gopi, asukumari. So just by right thinking, one can attain perfection. The mind is a source of liberation and bondage. And Gita, Krishna tells in 8.3, is very important, especially the last line, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yanti kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadatad bhava bhavataha. Sadatad bhava bhavataha. That whatever we're cultivating and thinking, sadatad bhava, that bhava that we're always cultivating, that state of existence we get when we leave our bodies. So Gita is telling us cultivation, sadatad bhava. That existence, that state of existence, that identity that we're sada, time after time, moment after moment, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. So smaran bhavam means that existence, that state that we're remembering, smaran. Doesn't say, Krishna doesn't say you're chanting Hare Krishna when you die. Well, that's good. You're chanting and remembering. He's talking about smaran, and this is the death chapter, the dying chapter, chapter 8, 8.3, I believe. It says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajat yanti kalevaram. Tyag ante kalevaram. At the end of the kalevaram, the end of the body, we have to give it up. Tyag. Everyone becomes a tyagi. If you don't voluntarily become a tyagi when you're young, then you're forced, then mrityu sarvaharashcham. Mrityu sarvaharashcham, Krishna tells in Gita. Oh, you don't want to give up your body to me as a tyagi or as a surrendered devotee? Okay, then I'll take it at death. I come at death and take everything. Tyagi. So then it says, sadatad bhava bhavita. So that's why this verse is telling we have to cultivate. In 11th canto of Bhagavatam, the point is by thinking, by cultivating this abhiman, which means thoughts, thinking, feeling, willing, hearing about, reading about, speaking about, desiring, cultivating, this kishori atmanam sukumari kalaye. By cultivating this, then we will get that fruit, or that you plant this seed, you cultivate it, and then it becomes a plant and leaves and branches and finally flowers and then mangoes. So it's not that you just dream that I'll get mangoes. I'm just sleeping every night. What do you think about? I'm thinking that someday I'll get a garden full of mangoes, an orchard full of mangoes in my backyard. Oh, that's nice. Dream on. That's really a dream, because that dream will never come true. It's a practical devotion, sadhana. It's called abhyas. Krishna tells abhyasena, yuktena, and Gita. Abhyas means daily practice. Like we have the daily eating, daily bathing, daily dressing, sleeping, working, exercise, everything we're doing. This is our physical abhyas, but this is the abhyas of the atma, of the soul. So just by right thinking, one can attain perfection. This is the theme. And he's trying to tell us, think like this. Think I'm there with Radharani, and that she's been so happy with me and pleased with me by my seva, that she's given me her own prasadi vastra, her dukulam vibranam atakucha tate kachuka patam. And then we'll discuss that also. Very beautiful Sanskrit. Dukulam vibranam atakucha tate kanchuka patam. Vibranam patam kucha kanchuka kucha tate kanchuka. That's so nice, very beautiful. So in the 11th canto, it's a not much a seen verse, but it's extremely important and often quoted by the acharyas of Raghunuga Bhakti and Raghunuga Sadhana. And this is about, it seems, you might think, how is this related to a Kishori Sukumari? Kishori Sukumari, how is this analogy and this verse related to becoming a Sukumari? Because the verse is about a worm and a wasp. You know those yellow jackets, you call them tatia? What do you call this? Tatia? Those little yellow, they fly around and they land and they sting you very bad. Tatia? Tatia? Huh? You don't know. Maybe you don't have in Bombay. It's nothing alive there except human beings. It's everywhere, only asphalt, cement, and human beings. There's no insects, there's no birds, there's no anything. All the dogs have been killed. There's no cows. There's nothing to see over there. There's no pigs, dogs, monkeys, birds, parrots, nothing. It's just cement, cars, people, bus. You don't even, you know, even a cockroach can't live there. Maybe that's, everyone has that. You have that? That's nice. Very good. We don't have. Hopefully. So far. Actually, anyone brings saman from Delhi, I say, put it on this veranda first, and we have a security clearance. They bring some box of mangoes to distribute to the children or whatever. And oftentimes we open a box and somebody jumps out. We catch them and open the door and say, go up somewhere else and play. So otherwise you bring them and because over there is a temple, then it can be a problem. So I didn't, because I used to bring inside and I would find one morning, oh, hey, what are you doing? I catch them in a little tiffin. Out, go back to Delhi. So now I have security clearance. X-ray and, you know, checking. That's funny. So this verse is from, I want to look at it, because this is, of course, probably the most intriguing topic of anyone. You have to go? The book that we're studying in this class is called Radharas Sudaniti by Prabhupada Saraswati. It's available here at Radhakund in Hindi, Bengali, English, and Russian, if you'd like to read Russian. And you go to Gopinath Mandir. You know, on the Prikamar, there's Radha Gopinath Mandir.
Yeah.
There's Manipur, Gopal Mandir, Iskan Gopal Mandir, and go around the corner, Gopinath. Well, that right opposite there, you go up those steps and to the side and just ask anybody, where's the bookstore? And you can buy the book. It's a fantastic book. And all these discussions are from the commentaries here. I mean, it's a shlokan commentary. And maybe some other things added. You can see, you can read and then compare. Everyone here has the book. It's like a textbook for the class. It's fantastic. If you're interested in Manjari Bhav, or being Radharani Sakhi maidservant, that's a very important book. Although a lot of it's talking about Sakhis, but it's talking about Sakhis, which means like not exactly Manjaris. There's 272 verses, but it's all about Radha Krishna. It's all about Sakhis, all about Madhurya Ras. So by reading all those verses, and you'll hear so many leelas and pastimes and descriptions of Radha's form. Because I give many classes on Radha Sudaniti. They're on the net, MNS audio. I gave class on Radharani's lotus, on Radharani's roop, on Radharani's gun, all from this book. Fantastic verses about her lotus feet and her form. And they're there over the last so many years occasionally. So this focus of this class is selecting 40 verses that specialize in Manjari Bhav, Kinkari, or Paricharika. These words all mean Manjari. Paricharika, Anucharin, Kaikarnya, Kinkari. You won't find the word Manjari here. You won't find the word Manjari anywhere in Rupa Goswami's books.
Sahachari is different.
Sahachari is, I haven't seen it used so much in context of the Manjaris. It's used more like the Astasakis or Sahacharis. You can use it that way, but generally in terms of our, in these books, we don't find that used. We find Dasi. In all these verses, we will see the words Dasi, Paricharika, Anucharin, Anucharini, Kaikarnya, Kinkari. These words, four or five. And they all mean, they're not Nayakas. They're not, but a Sahachari can be, a Nayaka. So this is the Bhagavatam talking about this point. By meditating, we'll get the body. So this is the Praman. 11.9.23 Kita peshashkritam dhyayan kudhyam tena praveshita yati tat satamatam rajan purva rupam asantyajan. O king, once a wasp, Tatya, I think it's called Tatya, Oh, there's no Hindi. You're all South people. Tatiya. No, Tatiya. Tataya. Anyway, you see that totally kind of mustard, pale yellow bodies, and they have these nests. They make these kind of paper-like type nests here and there, and trees and buildings or whatever. And if they land on you, they sting like anything. And we call them yellow jackets because they look like they're wearing it in the body. So anyway, that's a wasp. What they call it here, they call it Peshaskritam. It's all short. Peshaskritam. Peshaskritam. A wasp. In other words, a bigger insect caught a smaller insect. Okay? Barakita, no, the Chotakita. Once a wasp forced a weaker insect to enter his hive, or his house, and kept him trapped there. In great fear, the weak insect constantly meditated upon his captor. And without giving up his body, he gradually achieved the same state of existence. Sadatad bhava bhavitaha. So even before you give up the body, ante kalevaram, even during abhyas, bhakti abhyas, practicing a raganuga sadhana, you're deeply meditating, you may see that body in meditation. When will you see that body in meditation, that Sukumari Kishori? When you come to the level of bhava, at the level of bhava bhakti, you will see the Lord and see yourself, and you're sporty, and you're internally, you'll see your mentally conceived spiritual body that you cultivated by lifetimes of meditation and practicing of rag marg. So that's happening. This is an amazing thing. So he achieved the same state of existence as the wasp. Thus, one achieves a state of existence according to one's constant concentration. So by meditation, you get the body. So now this is the how some other god brothers have translated. Prabhupada didn't translate the 11th canto, but other god brothers. So Bhanu Swami, also a god brother, he said, sometimes the meditating devotee gives up his present body. Oh, excuse me, that's the purport of Vishnath. And here's the purport here. The following question may be raised. Since the weaker insect in this story did not physically change his body, he was still alive, how can it be said that he achieved the same state of existence as the wasp? He was like a little worm. You know, he's a different species, a different bug. It's like you're a man, but you're meditating on a gopi roop. Or you're a woman, and you're meditating on a spiritual form of a gopi. So that's why this verse is this is Praman, Bhagavat Puran. This is Mukhya Praman. This is Amalam Puranam. Paramahamsa Samitam, Bhagavat. So the Tika. Since the weaker, so he's trapped in this little hole in this nest. Like you put somebody, imagine you're some big rakshash and you catch some human being, let's say you catch some animal or whatever. You put him in your closet and you lock him in there and there's no door. And he's just looking out all the time at you and he's wondering, oh, this person caught me. And he's just looking at you all the time, and he sees, oh, your human form, and I'm a little rabbit. What's he going to do with me? He locked me in this little closet, and he's always walking by and looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, I'm out of fear, and what's going to happen? So what happens is my mind, my constant meditation on this predator, on this man who trapped me up inside this little closet, in his house, I start thinking, man, man, man. And then my mind takes the shape of man. So already in my rabbit brain, just if you can imagine, because this is talking about insect, one insect to another, which is such a low species of life. But the rabbit's brain becomes like a piece of marble. You take a square piece of marble, then you cut it, chop it, chop it, just that, the other thing. All of a sudden you have a deity of Krishna. If you go to Jayapur, you see these blocks of marble lined up in the shops, and then you go there to pick out which marble you want for your deity, and these big blocks. So I want a very white one. He said, well, that's very costly. How much do you want to spend? Well, show me one. He said, this is white. I said, well, is it white all the way through? He said, we can't guarantee that. So when we start carving it, there may be a gray line comes in from the inside. That's very, can't tell. It's very risky. You know, you want, and then you have to sign a contract. You have to pick out a block and sign it. And then, he said, look, whatever comes out, they tell you. So it's like a gamble. You don't know, they'll tell you. So the same. So he, from this marble, he's thinking in his mind, and he carves this beautiful form. So our mind is like a piece of marble, and the sculpting is our abhyas, the sculptor, the stapana. So we're by our daily constant abhyas and thinking, we're carving our mind. We're carving our mind in the shape of a particular form. I am the enjoyer. I am the enjoyer. I am the enjoyer. And I'm the husband, but I am so attached to my wife. I love my wife. I love my wife. So we're cultivating the mentality of being an enjoyer, and as we already have, and we're always thinking of wife. So we make a very nice woman's body inside her chitta, inside her mind. So when we die, we get that. So this is a purport. So the question is, how is it that, because what the verse is saying, that he was just looking at the little weak insect, was looking at this wasp who caught him and stuffed him in this little hole in his nest. And he kept thinking. Suddenly he became a wasp, even without changing his body. So that question is asked, how is it he became a wasp and he didn't even change his body? Actually, by constant meditation upon a particular object of one's consciousness, one's consciousness becomes filled with the qualities of that object. Due to extreme fear, the smaller insect was absorbed in the characteristics and activities of the large wasp, and thus he entered into the existence of the wasp. Due to such meditation, he actually took the body of a wasp in his next life. This is a very, very important verse. If anyone is interested in how... You ask, how do I get my spiritual body? How do I get my siddhadeya? So then, this when it says here, the wasp, he was constantly meditating upon his captor, then he achieved the same state of existence. This is what is said in this translation. But Bhana Maharaj says, achieve the same state of existence. But what Bhana says, that small, weaker insect achieved a form like that of the wasp. A state of existence, that's not so clear. Rupam, tanam, form. I'm a worm and you're a fly. I meditate and he became fly. This is what it's saying. It means metamorphosis. So then Bhana Maharaj just gives this tika of Vishnu Chakravarti. Sometimes the devotee is meditating throughout his life on his spiritual form, and he gives up the present body and attains siddhadeya, though no one can see that, because we see that so and so died. You know, he's doing bhajan, he's in Vrindavan, and then he dies, because we don't know. He's a very quiet devotee and very sincere and serious, but maybe his whole life he's been thinking about the service of Radha and Krishna and been meditating on a spiritual body or just meditating on their seva. And then at the time of death, Krishna gave him his spiritual body. So I said there are different ways to realize the siddhadeya. So this is the purport here in 11.9.23 by Vishwanath, according to Bhana Swami's translation. Sometimes the meditating devotee gives up his present body and attains a siddhadeya, though it's not seen. How does this happen? Sri Krishna personally does this. And why does he not wait? He waits till the end to prevent, to protect the secrecy of bhakti yoga. He does this by his maya potency, to protect the supremacy and secrecy of bhakti yoga from the non-believers. So If suddenly, why the devotee was meditating when he was alive, his body, he's a man, he's meditating, and Krishna, and his body, because Krishna can do anything, he's lying in a bed meditating, all of a sudden he turns into a gopi. And people say, I was looking at the bed, and this Krishna Das became a gopi. Because Krishna can do that and give the spiritual form. And then people say, what is this? This is some, what is this bhakti? So to protect that, all the non-believers who don't believe in God or don't accept bhakti bhajan, they'll say, oh, he just died. Everybody dies. He just died. My father died, and I didn't see. You say that Krishna gave him a spiritual body. I don't believe it. You know. Then my father got a citadeya. So this is what it said. And then giving up. So now the example. This is the tattva philosophy. Now the example, which is so important for all of us, which I said in the beginning of the class, is that of Narada Muni. This is in First Canto Bhagavatam, Chapter 6, specifically in Chapter 28. And there it says, Prayujyamane maitam shudham bhagavatim tanum. This word prayujyamane, and you'll, we'll read the story in a summary way. Narada Muni said, he's narrating because someone said, how did you attain perfection? And he explains of his last life. And that story will, we'll see from the life. In other words, Narada Muni is showing the beginning of the Bhagavatam. This, I'm a sadhaka, I did abhyas. This is what I did, and this is what I attained. I got my citadeya. So now you study the Bhagavatam. You'll have to go the same way to get your citadeya. This is one way. Or there's other ways also. The basic point is Krishna gives the spiritual body. So this word prayujyamane means I was rewarded. It says that Vishnu brought from me, Vishnu brought from me a Bhagavatim tanum. Tanum means body, spiritual body. Ai nanda tanujakin karam. Patita, no, ai nanda tanuja. Ja, born from the Tano of Nanda, which means Nanda Nandan. Fifth verse of Shikshastakam. Ai Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. So he's saying, Prayujamani Maitam, by the Maya potency, Yoga Maya potency of the Lord. Prayujamani, the word means I was rewarded, I was given. Didn't mean I didn't have my spiritual body with me. I was just doing my bhajan. Shudham Bhagavatim Tanum. I got the pure spiritual body. So now, well, this is the example. Firstly, that by meditation, you can change your, you can get a gopi's form or whatever form of a spiritual personality that you desire. So this emphasizes the power of meditation. Changing the mentality, cultivating the proper mentality. So this first canto of Bhagavatam, you ask anybody, have you read the Bhagavatam? Oh yeah, I read the Bhagavatam. I know everything. But generally, people don't remember too much of what they read. This is probably the most important part of the Bhagavatam. It's maybe a little too much to read the whole Bhagavatam because you're busy. Everyone's very busy with their life situation. But at least we can say, read first canto, chapter 6. Slowly, deeply, every Sanskrit verse, all the word-for-word meanings, and translate each verse yourself, or look at the translations there, look at the commentaries, and if you can look at more commentaries, if you can read Sanskrit or Hindi, you can get other volumes and try to read more commentaries. Very explicit. In other words, there's two things most all devotees are confused about, sadhana and sadhya. How to practice bhakti bhajan? Hare Krishna, let's take prasadam and offer your food and go back to Godhead. Okay, great. Is that what the Bhagavatam tells? No. Is that what the first canto tells? No. Then? Anyway, that's what my temple commander told me. Yeah, okay, that's good to get you in the door, but you know, you've been in the house now for you've been in the house now for 10 years. About the time you open the books, oh, it's like this. So it's like this. How is it like? It's like this. It says, Narada Muni's telling, as you'll read the story, I'll give you a summary. He said, actually, before, Before I was instructed in spiritual knowledge, he says here, the great sages who had previously imparted vigyan departed for other places. So I accepted that vigyan from them, and I carried on. So he got spiritual instructions from the sages during Chaturmasya when his mother was serving them in some ashram. And then it says here, so then what happened was, when I was 5 years old, my mother died of a snake bite. That's a pretty good age. That's what Prahlad Maharaj says in seventh canto. Komarat acharit pragyo dharman bhagavatamiha. Komarat acharit pragyo. Achara, the age, when you're a komar means, you know, 5 years old or so, you should start behaving properly. Komarat acharit, acharit pragyo. If you have good intelligence, good brain, pragyo. Komarat acharit pragyo dharman bhagavat. He said, Bhagavad Dharma, you should start practicing Bhagavad Dharma when you're five. Although the Vedas, the Smriti Shastras say that a child doesn't have to start doing Janmashtami Brat or Ekadasi Brat until he's eight. From eight until 80. He has to start at eight, and when he hits 80, he can stop. If he hits 80. Mostly he doesn't. And then when he gets to 80, if he's already been doing it, he'll probably keep doing it. I know one sannyasi I met, he lived to 103 years, and his habit was to do Nirjala Ekadasi, and he continued it throughout his life. Or from 85 years he was doing Nirjala, a whole sadhana life. And maybe it's easier when you're younger, but when you're older it becomes difficult. So he says, I was 5 years old, I started traveling alone. I mean, he's not an ordinary personality. He didn't say he just said Haribo and took Mahaprasad. He's traveling, 5 years old, traveling alone, thousands of years ago. He didn't have an Indrail pass, and he wasn't on a tour. He didn't have a gold platinum card or whatever this that, credit card, debit card. He's just traveling. He's going through mining. I passed through many forests, bamboo. They were difficult to travel through forests. They're very deep, dark forests full of snakes and owls and jackals. What to speak about tigers. So he's like Paribrajak at the age of five, and he's wandering around. Probably makes a very nice purport here. It says, this purport is in chapter 1, 6, 13, this verse, because some people have the idea that some people are grihasthas, or most people are grihasthas. I have one godbrother, he's getting close to like vanaprast, and he's thinking, I have to preach, and Prabhupada wants to preach, and that's true. We should try to help others and do welfare work. But first, let's help ourselves also. And it's a very interesting purport here. 1, 6, 13. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the glories of the Lord is strongly recommended. And the vow of renunciation of family life, and one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Paribrajakacharya like Narada or Lord Chaitanya. So in other words, he's taken a vow to renounce family life. It doesn't necessarily, it can mean he's a sannyasi, or it can mean he's a vanaprast. Either one, he's left the family life, he or she. He doesn't have to be a Paribrajak, which means traveling and preaching, but he may sit down in a holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great acharyas, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So there it appears that Prabhupada is giving some room for people to sit in the holy dham and practice their bhajan. And it doesn't mention about preaching. He said, if you can't do that, then do this. It's very good. So back to Narada Muni. He's 5 years old. He's traveling everywhere. And then he was doing his meditation as he was taught. He was meditating on the super soul, the Paramatma, Dhyan. And super soul means a four-arm form of Vishnu. He says, batteries will be. So he's meditating on the form of Vishnu. It says here in 16, dhyayatash charanam bojam bhava nirjita chetasa utkant yashru kalakshaya ridyasin me shaner hari. Narada Muni said, I was meditating on the Paramatma as I was trained. He was a jnani, but he was not an aparad jnani, he was a devotee type jnani, favorable, meditating on Krishna, the personality of God within his heart. But gradually, it says that bhava nirjita chetasa, by that continual meditation, my mind transformed and entered into a state of bhav. Nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhav, prem. So this indicates that now he's at the level of bhav. His devotion has brought him to that level. It's so serious he was. This word bhav is significant. The bhava stage is attained. This bhava stage is attained after one has transcendental affection for Krishna. And then it said, as soon as when I reach a state of bhav, I would start meditating on the Lord. And as soon as I closed my eyes and meditated, that form would appear in my heart as a sporti. And I would see the Lord in my heart. It's called sporti, internal mental vision. You can have lila pravesh, you actually see the lila, or you see the form in a static way, or it can be a dynamic experience at the level of bhava, where you enter the lila and do seva there and see the Lord and his associates moving and everything, and their lilas. So he says here, my mind transformed in bhav, and when I started to meditate, I would see my Lord in the heart and tears would roll from my eyes. And then he says, without delay, Krishna appeared on the lotus of my heart. And it was great eagerness. It says, utkanta, eagerness, chetasa, eagerness. It says, utkanta ashru kalakshasya. His aksha, his eyes, tears are rolling down from his eyes, and he felt so much eagerness seeing the Lord. And it says here that tears from the eyes, being so surcharged in transcendental love, there comes a strong feeling of separation which leads to 8 different kinds of ecstasies. Tears from the eyes of a devotee is an automatic reaction, and because of his previous birth, Narada Muni attained that stage very quickly after his departure from home. So in other words, in his previous birth, he had also practiced intense bhakti. Then he met sages at a young age, at the age of 4 or so, and he got instructed in vigyan, spiritual knowledge. Then his mother died when he was 5. Then at the age of 5, he started wandering like a paribrajak, like sannyasi, fearless sannyasi, through all the forests and jungles. And so then he's continuing from his last life, doing his bhakti bhajan. So then in this life that he's describing, I attained bhav. So it takes many lifetimes. Narada Muni's example is there. It will take many lifetimes to come to the platform of bhava bhakti. He said, in my previous birth, I had attained that stage. So therefore, because I was already advanced very quickly after I left home, it was quite possible for him to see the presence of the Lord in his heart. Now the next verse says, here it says, bhav nirjita chetasa. That's in 1:6:16. And the next verse says prema, 1:6:17. Prema atibhara nirbina pulak ango tenivrita anand samplave lino napashyam ubayam mune. O Vyas, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Actually, it says here, prema, excess, atibhara, bhara means laden, heavy, especially, nirbina, prema, atibhara, nirbina. I was overwhelmed with excessive love, prema, Krishna prema, and all my limbs, pulaka, I was trembling, my hair was standing on end, pulaka anga, ati nivritta, And I was overwhelmed, Anand Samplave. And I submerged in an ocean, Anand Sindhu, an ocean of ecstasy. Sandrananda Visheshatma. There are six symptoms of bhakti mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And at the level of prema, it's called Sandrananda Visheshatma and Sri Krishna Sankarshani. Sandra Ananda Visheshatma means the Atma experiences a very special, intense, concentrated form of divine spiritual bliss. Chandra means concentrated. Chandra Ananda Vishesh Atma. So he's experiencing that. And you can open the door, maybe get some fresh air in here. So, yeah. So this is so Narada Muni's attained the level of prema, but then he lost that inner darshan. Spiritual feelings of happiness and intense ecstasies have no mundane comparison. We can only have a glimpse of such ecstasy in the words of Narada Muni. Narada Muni lost himself in seeing both himself and the Lord simultaneously. So at the level of prema, you will see yourself and you will see the Lord. Then he lost that inner vision and he became very disturbed and desirous of seeing it again. But did he see the Lord again? No, he only saw the Lord once in that life. But then the Lord spoke to him and said, "You'll not see me again." And then he didn't see him. So the question is that Narada Muni was in a material body, material senses, and he entered the stage of bhava and prema. How is it he was able to see the Lord? He had that vision, direct vision in his heart. So that's told in this verse 20, 1620, in the purport. By the causeless mercy of God, one will receive the proper senses to be able to hear God speak to him or see God with his eyes. Of course, it's Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilana, but still, like Arjuna saw the spiritual form of the Lord, the Virata Rupa with special eyes. Of course, there's different tikas of that also, because his eyes were Madhurya. His eyes were Madhurya and Sakiras, so he couldn't see the Aishwarya of Krishna's Virata Rupa. So then it says that Krishna gave him Aishwarya Chakshush, because he had Madhurya Chakshush. He couldn't see Krishna with thousands of arms and mouths. So then it says in Gita, Krishna gave him divine vision, Divya Chakshush, but it was actually a type of bhav so he could see that. He removed his Madhurya bhav and gave him Aishwarya bhav so he could see the Virata Rupa. So the Lord was so pleased that by his mercy, so a devotee in love with God feels always the pangs of separation and is therefore always enwrapped in transcendental ecstasy. So now it goes on and it goes to this verse 1628. Prayujamane maitam shudham bhagavatim tunam arabdha karma nirvano nayapatat pancha bhotika. Having been awarded, so this now he's describing when I died. At the time of death, I was given a transcendental body befitting an associate of the personality of Godhead. I quit the body made of five elements, and thus ended all my reactions to fruit of work, arabdha. You've heard of prarabdha karma, arabdha, aparabdha, kutam and bijam. So all that was finished. So this is the example of Narada Muni. So we have to follow his footsteps. We have to do our bhajan. Life after life, we'll come to the level of bhava. And the level of bhava will experience ecstatic symptoms. And the level of prema, we'll have darshan of the Lord in the heart. Then we give up the body, and then he'll bring from the spiritual world, he'll bring from Vaikuntha, Murti, or Goloka, and give it to us as he gave it to him. It didn't come out of his heart, boom, it came out of Jack in the Box or something. He's a sadaka. The spiritual body is not inside the heart. It's in the spiritual world. This is the material body and a material heart with a spark of consciousness animating it all. So this is very solid proof about the path of perfection, Narada Muni. So by thinking, you can attain your proper spiritual form. So that's the end of class. There's no time for questions. And tomorrow, if anyone has any questions on this verse, we'll leave time tomorrow for asking those questions. Class ends at 11:30. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Okay. Try to get that book.